Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, America, to The Savage Truth. Thank you so very much for joining me. I appreciate you. And what is my ask? As you know, I ask so graciously and appreciatively. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review. And please keep doing that, folks. You've been doing that. I need to acknowledge that. I appreciate that. But please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And let's get into it. We got a lot to get to. So this Trump case in New York, this communist hack Bragg in New York, the district attorney, says that he's pursuing more like harassing Trump because no one is above the law. That's what he says. No one is above the law. Really? So I remember, see if you remember. I remember back in 2021, when he was elected in 2021, he basically took office as a DA who allowed crime and ultimately do no time. Allow crime, do no time was basically his model. This new progressive DA stressed diversion and alternatives to jail time, like crisis intervention over putting some criminals behind bars. Listen to this. Listen. Remember this when he was elected. I'm trying to get you to recall. This was his law enforcement philosophy as the first and the new, the very first Black DA in New York. Now, I only stress the fact that he's the first Black DA because Dems were stressing this so hard when he was elected. But again, this guy falls in line with Fannie Willis, Nathan Wade, Claudine Gay, Letitia James, Lori Lightfoot, right? Not models of integrity for young Black children, for young Black hopefuls, or young people in general in America, for that matter. But listen to this. So, as the new DA that the Dems were so very proud of, so excited about having this first Black male DA in New York, he believes in diversion and alternatives to jail time in 2021. This is what he introduced when he was new, like crisis intervention over putting criminals in jail. He said he would no longer incarcerate lawbreakers in New York unless it's murder. It has to involve death or an actual felony before he'll actually put you in jail, saying his goal was safety and fairness. Wonder how that made people feel in certain neighborhoods. Regular people, regular working citizens, families, everyday Americans who wait at bus stops and ride the subway system. Wonder how that made them feel. He also wanted race to be a consideration in prosecution of a crime. And every Black communist, Marxist, socialist does, right? Falling right in line. So to be clear, no one is above the law in New York under Bragg. So think about this, okay? No one's above the law. This is his statement. Prostitution's okay, though. You know, people running the streets, sex workers, they're okay. Trespassing, okay, no problem. Theft, no problem. Go ahead and steal. Vandalism, no worries. Don't worry about it. But Trump has to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law over a made-up crime, a federal crime that doesn't exist. And I say made-up because the feds themselves wouldn't actually take and charge this crime. This is not a hush money trial, okay? Let's stop saying that. Don't repeat what the Dem media is saying. Don't repeat what Democrat hacks are saying. This is not a hush money crime, okay? It's a campaign finance violation, which, by the way, the FEC, who regulates and oversees finances in regulations to campaigns, said was not a violation. The FEC said that this was not a violation. So let's be very clear on what this case is about. The way they mounted this nothing case into a something case, this records case to a felony, is they said that Donald Trump paid off this Stormy Daniels and that it should have been classified as a campaign donation. So his supposed federal crime is that he misclassified a campaign donation. Wow. And for that, he should be prosecuted? He should go to prison for that? Are you kidding me? Now, what's interesting, what I find so very interesting, is that John Podesta and Mark Elias didn't face the same consequences for the exact same practice. Remember? Why aren't they under investigation? Why weren't they brought into investigation? Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, was called before congressional investigators and denied categorically any contractual agreements with Fusion GPS. Now, sitting beside him at that time of the testimony was Mark Elias, who said nothing, absolutely nothing, to correct the misleading information testified to Congress. And yet, there was no charges stemming from that conceal of campaign funding, though it was all part of the campaign budget. Okay, so hear and see this, America. You have to hear this, see this. Podesta, Hillary, and Mark Elias funded this dossier and classified them as a legal, classified them as legal expenses, not what they actually were. And what they actually were was opposition research to hide the fact that Hillary's team was paying Christopher Steele to make up the PP hoax. No one was charged in that. There were no charges. No one was under investigation. No one was charged to the fullest extent of the law. Of course not. But these are the same charges that are they're making against Donald Trump. In fact, he has to sit in a courtroom, wasting time, wasting money, and connection to the American people. That's what he's missing out on. While he's in court, wasting time and money on a bogus case and sitting in front of legal hacks on the Democratic side, he's missing connection with the American people, which exactly is what they want, right? That's the agenda, to allow Sleepy Joe to stay in the basement. As long as Trump is tied up in court, Joe doesn't have to be out in the streets, you know, sniffing kids, right? But it goes on to show you how terrible the Biden-Harris team is, that Trump is tied up in court on bogus trial after trial, and yet his popularity continues to grow. It continues to grow. He continues to raise more and more money because these two are so terrible. They're so terrible at their jobs, the jobs they've done so far, and they're terrible human beings. And everyone knows it, and the polls show it. The fundraising show it. For Trump, this had nothing to do with the FEC. It was an NDA. Okay, let's be clear about this case, about what it actually is. It says nothing to do with the FEC, has nothing to do with, you know, being above the law, right? This has everything to do with an NDA with this woman, to which was not a crime or campaign related at all, okay? Wasting this man's time, wasting taxpayer dollars. So if the media could please, just please hone in, do your job, and report this accurately for what this actually is. Another harassment case against Donald Trump to keep him off the campaign trail, because he's winning over the American people with sound policies that appeal and work for the American people. And a track record to prove it. A track record to prove it, and it will be done once he's in office. He's winning over Americans, young Americans. He's winning over Gen Zers. He's winning over Blacks, Hispanics, Independents, because he speaks to what they actually care about, what they're actually feeling, what they're actually experiencing, their future, their safety, and common sense solutions to this communist sewer society we have become since the inauguration of Basement Biden and no count Kamala Harris. They have Trump tied up in court so Joe can stay in the basement, like I said, as long as possible, so he can't screw anything up. Every time he gets a chance to speak, he's a media disaster. That's why we need him out on the trail, people. Understand that this has to be strategic. We can't be emotional about this stuff. It has to be strategic. We need Basement Joe out on the trail, okay? Making the White House's historically worst press secretary's job even harder, Karine Jean-Pierre, KJP, okay, historically, the White House's worst press secretary in history, making her job even harder is worse. So she has to stand up there, as terrible as she is, mediocre to be the best. She has to stand up there. We want her to stand up there and have to come up with more and new excuses and lies to the press and to the American people about Joe Biden's ineptitude as a president. That's what we need. We're talking about a trial that would never be fair or unbiased towards Donald Trump. That's what we're talking about. Bragg is wasting millions of dollars, taxpayers' money, on this bogus case that has absolutely no way of being fair for Donald Trump, tying him up in courtroom where prostitutes and squatters and thieves, they are above the law. They get alternative diversion law enforcement instead of jail time. But Donald Trump has to be held accountable for a campaign finance dispute, to which, again, the feds wouldn't prosecute and the FBC themselves said was not a crime. New York, we get it. We get it. You prosecute Republicans. Totally got it. We're picking up what you're putting down. By the way, let me mention, because I always talk about this, I got to bring this up. Okay, what do I talk about? Contrasts and comparisons, folks. Donald Trump, after that case, right, goes in the afternoon. Where does he go? He goes straight to Harlem. Contrasts and comparisons. Meanwhile, Joe Biden was with kids, right? Sniffing the kids, right? Being weird, all right? But Donald Trump rides through Harlem, and what do you see? Look this up. People cheering him on, pumping their fists, hooraying him, praising him, saying, that's my president, go Trump, okay? This is what they're trying to prevent. Remember, folks, I was a candidate, and I'm telling you what I've learned, that it's all about contrasts and comparisons. It all comes down to snapshots, okay? It all comes down to sound bites, and that's what people remember, and that's what they take to the voting polls, okay? Now, when they brought in the jurors for the selection of this bogus case, half of them, more than 50 or so, had to be dismissed, because I'm talking about how unfair, that this trial could never be fair or unbiased towards Donald Trump. 50 or so had to be dismissed because of their negative view and bias towards Donald Trump. 50 people. This is unbelievable. 50 people said they couldn't possibly put away their political bias towards Trump. This is what's going on in New York and around the country. It's no wonder people want Trump in. They imagine themselves, like I do, they imagine themselves in the same predicament without the financial resources of and the megaphone of Donald Trump, and they sympathize with him, knowing that if it were them, if it were me, right, I would be doomed. I don't have the financial resources of Donald Trump, okay? I just don't have it. So I put myself in his position, and I think, wow, if they came at me with that same veracity, I would be doomed. And that's what people do. So they're ultimately making him more popular. And then, of course, you have this Judge Marchand, who is connected to the Democratic infrastructure. He actually makes money from it, right? When you take in all these factors, you recognize that this is a terrible conflict, but this is an unfair trial for Donald Trump. The odds are so stacked against him. And people think that Trump will actually get a fair trial in New York. There's absolutely no way. Okay, so this is a complete waste of time. People, remember all this. You got to load up your memory. Right? You got to load up your memory here. Take all this to the voting polls in November. It's important, but it is a complete waste of time and a waste of money. We need Donald Trump to prevail. Now, let me address this bridge behind me. Let me talk about it. You know what it is. You've seen it. You recognize it. The famous Brooklyn Bridge. Okay? Let me state what needs to be said so everyone understands and get this through their heads. This is what I have come to understand and accept through the Biden administration as an American. And by the way, this would still apply if I were a Democrat sitting here right now talking to you. Doesn't matter politically, this statement still applies. Doesn't at all change the statement I'm about to make. Joe Biden and the Iranians have the same agenda. Hating Americans, hating the American way of life, and want to destroy it. I stand by that statement. I stand by that statement because all the evidence points to it. All the evidence is there to prove it. This stunt on the Brooklyn Bridge, if it were turned around, it was a MAGA crowd, there would have been hundreds of arrests, hundreds. You all know it, hundreds of arrests for MAGA flags, Club 45 hats and T-shirts shouting death to America. I guarantee there would have been hundreds of arrests that day. Hundreds under federal investigation, if not already in jail, serving time, okay? What do we witness? Death to America chants in America, on American soil, in American streets. Not just from terrorists, who I'm sure are on American soil right now as we speak, but ignorant American-born citizens who were chanting this, blocking traffic, preventing people from being able to get to work, prevented people from being able to go to school, get their kids to school, get their kids to daycare, get a flight to the airport. Working people, making deliveries, transporting goods so that Americans can have food and other services, blocking mailmen from delivering the mail, blocking emergency traffic, right? So crime can't be stopped. Someone approaching death being transported to the hospital, perhaps on the ambulance, they got blocked to save a life. A fire, perhaps at a residential home or a business, couldn't be put out because these ignorant Hamas holes, okay, and shout out to Dan Bongino for that term. Thank you, I am going to use it. They could stand around or standing around and hate Jewish people and Israel for its right to defend itself. And I always find this rich. This is the part that I always find so incredibly rich. The coalition of the oppressed, those queers for Palestine, who would actually be thrown off a roof in Gaza, standing there chanting hate, while Israel is the only country in the Middle East that doesn't persecute gay individuals. You literally can't make this stuff up. Yet, in the safety of America, they can protest Israel. Just ticked me off to the highest degree. My blood was boiling. So, apparently, there were some arrests, but I'm not satisfied with this because it'll happen again in yet another blue city. We got a whole summer to come up, okay? So keep your eyes peeled. Be on high alert, right? Keep your neck out. Keep looking around the corner because it will happen again. This is from the BK Reader, a local news outlet for Brooklyn. And it writes, a group of pro-Palestinian protesters was arrested after blocking parts of the Brooklyn Bridge on Monday, according to the police. The NYPD said that the protest caused severe road traffic and is part of a wider protest across the five boroughs in support of the Palestinians. Traffic along the Golden Gate Brooklyn Bridge was back to normal following the protests on Monday afternoon. EarthCam shows protesters along the lower portion of the bridge with signs and colored smoke canisters. Members of the NYPD moved the bulk of the protesters off the bridge, and it's unclear how many protesters were actually detained. So, if you're listening to this and you were cheering them on, or perhaps you were actually on the bridge, I just want to let you know that your stunt was not effective. Just in case there's hopes and plans, as I am sure there is, to do this again in another major city, you were ineffective. Absolutely ticking off the entire group of people you actually need to align with your cause by preventing them from getting to work or in emergency services, etc., is just simply not smart. The Brooklyn Bridge has a pedestrian walkway, as you all know. You can see from the picture, I've actually personally never been on it, even though I'm from New York, sad to say, sad to admit on camera, but I've actually never been on it, but I know about it. So you can see on the sides, okay, on both sides, there's a pedestrian walkway. As you can see, for those of you who are actually watching on YouTube, for those of you listening, you might be familiar with it, but this was not projecting power, okay? You were ineffective. It projected stupidity. It was ticking off the very people you need to project power, to align with your imbecilic position, okay? Blocking traffic is not free speech. Let me get that clear. Let me say it again. It's worth repeating. Blocking traffic is not free speech. It's the right to assemble, okay? Yes, on sidewalks, assemble in the parks, not blocking others who don't share your concerns to go to and fro, minding their own business. That's what you get to do, okay? An absolute right. I defend your right to do that. Setting the American flag on fire, setting a man on fire was another image I saw that day. Where is that in the Constitution? I've read it, okay? I've read all 66 books of the Bible, and I've read the Constitution, and I'm telling you, it's not in the Constitution. Point it out to me if you find it. You know, waving the Hezbollah flag, switching that flag to MAGA, right? That very same Hezbollah flag, you make it red, white, and blue, and you put Make America Great Again, and they're going straight to jail, straight right away. And Trump takes the blame. Okay. Notice, though, they didn't go to Florida and do that. Why? Because you will get arrested. Okay. They know exactly what they're doing. These idiots chain themselves together in buckets full of concrete. The police were using wire cutters to free them. Now, death actually does happen, okay? In Iran, try that in Iran, okay? Try that in Iran, saying death, and you'll get it, but you'll be the one to die. Because you tie yourself to a chain in Iran, saying death to Iran, and they'll just cut your whole arm off. Let's be clear, people, about what's going on, okay? Meanwhile, again, contrasts and comparisons. Joe Biden, on Wednesday, President Biden made a stop in Pittsburgh on Wednesday, where he told members of the United Steelworkers Union that his uncle vanished in an area of New Guinea that was populated with cannibals after his plane crashed during World War II. Here we go with this. Biden told the steelworkers that after D-Day, his mother's four brothers volunteered to join the military. One of those uncles, he said, was Ambrose Finnegan, who went by the nickname Bozy, Uncle Bozy. Listen to what he said, and I quote, "He was a hell of an athlete, they tell me. When he was a kid," adding that he was in the Army Air Corps, which was in place before the Air Force came along. He goes on to say, "He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones, and he got shot down in New Guinea. They never found the body because there was a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea." He told reporters he wanted to see how his uncle was memorialized in a World War II memorial for those who lost their lives in the war. Here's what he said. "When D-Day occurred the next day on Monday, all four of my mother's brothers went down and volunteered to join the military. Ambrose Finnegan, we called him Uncle Bozy, he was shot down. He was Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found some parts of the plane." Now, the report, of course, was altogether different than Joe Biden's recollection. Report said three men failed to emerge from the sinking wreck and were lost in the crash, while one crew member survived and was rescued by a barge. A little bit different. Finnegan has not been associated with any of the remains recovered from the area after the war and is still not accounted for, according to that report. Now, as you recall and you know very well, you're very familiar with this, Biden is no stranger to making questionable claims, okay, lying, flat out lying through his teeth altogether. Earlier this week, he claimed he was the first person in his family to go to college while speaking in Wisconsin. "I, like an awful lot of people in this audience, was the first in my family to go to college. However, less than 2 years ago, during a speech in Pennsylvania, Biden told in an audience his grandfather played college football. In the statement, he said this, "Grandfather Finnegan was an All-American football player in Santa Clara." Now, years before, when he ran for president in 1987, Biden exaggerated his academic record by bragging he graduated in the top half of his class while berating a reporter on the campaign trail, if you remember this. "I think I have a much higher IQ than you do, I suspect." This is what Biden told the reporter in New Hampshire at the time. "I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. In the first year of law school, I decided I didn't want to be in law school and ended up at the bottom two-thirds of my class. And then I decided to stay, went back to law school, and in fact, ended up in the top half of my class." Now, of course, as you all know, he later admitted that he graduated 76th out of 85. It's a little bit different, way down from top of the heap. "I did not graduate in the top half of my class in law school, and my recollection of this was inaccurate," he told the New York Times when they called him on it. "I graduated from University of Delaware with a double major in history and political science," he said. "My reference to degrees at the Claremont event was intended to refer to these majors. I said three, and I should have said two." The outlet pointed out Biden received a single bachelor's degree in history and political science. Now, since then, Biden has told numerous stories that have also been deemed exaggerations. I say lies. I call it out. I call those things which are as they are. Okay. I call a thing a thing. They are lies. Mainstream outlets, including the Washington Post, have even called them out, including the publication's top fact checker, Glenn Kessler. Some stories Kessler's addressed includes Biden's claim that he and his father saw two men in suits kissing each other in public when he was a teenager, that he was arrested for trying to see Nelson Mandela in South Africa, and how, as vice president, he arranged for his uncle to be presented a Purple Heart that he was owed, but never received. The uncle died in 1999, long before Biden was vice president. Lies. Now, don't forget this. Biden also repeated a false claim last year about his house burning down in his attempt to relate to those who lost their homes to wildfires ravaging in Maui. Because why? Because he's disingenuous, right? He doesn't actually care about the people and he doesn't know how to relate. So he has to make every story about him. And I quote, "I don't want to compare difficulties, but we have a little sense, Jill and I, of what it was like to lose a home. Years ago now, 15 years, I was in Washington doing Meet the Press. Lightning struck at a home, at our home, on a lake outside of the home, not a lake, a big pond. It hit the wire and came up underneath our home into the air-conditioned ducts." He doesn't actually care about people. He's not able to relate because he doesn't know them. He's never bonded with the American people. He actually doesn't care. And so he takes every story, he makes it about himself. In contrast to his running mate, Donald Trump. So let's end on a savage note, shall we, today? This guy is nobody's president. Joe Biden. He's nobody's president. This country is headed to a point of no return. This is not the next president of the United States. He simply can't be. We are so much worse off after Joe Biden has taken office. If you care anything about your future, if you care anything about your kids, your grandchildren, your own personal safety and preservation, end this presidency in November. Savage truth is, the only thing Joe Biden is and ever was or ever can be is a liar. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And as always, be bold. Be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.